We're gonna have fun today because I'm gonna make Esty Gelney speak English. But it's her own fault. She went and wrote a book, God Knows You. God wants a personal relationship with you. So if she can write in English, then she's gotta speak in English. Hello, Esty.
Good morning. It's very wonderful to be here with you. And let me just tell you one thing. I grew up in the Free State.
Most. Okay?
And you know, us Free Staters know about Millies.
But you got to say it, mealies.
Mealies. We know about mealies. But, yeah, no. English is not my strongest point, but I also did drama.
Yeah.
So in drama, I had to learn the correct pronunciation of English.
What does Umm Johanna always say? British, the Queen's English.
The Queen's English.
Yes, I can
that's
do
what
that.
We were taught. But anyway, yes, I did write the book in English.
Why?
So many people asked me, why don't you please put these thoughts in English? Because there are so many people who cannot understand or read Afrikaans. Mm-hmm. And for that reason, whatever you write in Afrikaans is not available to them.
Yeah, it's limited.
They just can't understand it. Mm. And also, of course, once it is in English, it can even go beyond the borders of South Africa. And that's what I pray for.
Most. Absolutely. We don't pray small prayers.
Why not?
International. Global reach.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yes. And may God just keep his hand over this book and take it where he intended it to go. You know, it wasn't easy for me to write the book, okay?
Because the Free State.
Partly. But the other thing is, I already did a book in Afrikaans on more or less the same topic, and I did not want to repeat myself. I did not want to have exactly the same content. Mm. So I came in with a new lens.
Angle, yeah.
A new angle. And, but God took me through it.
Well, you're still sitting here alive, well and kicking, so obviously...
And you know, Janine, can I tell you, there were things that, you know, the final read, that they send you the book and they say, okay, this is not the final. If you approve this, then it goes to the printers. Mm. When I was sitting down with that read, I came across things that I said to the Lord, you know, you read it? And then I get up and I walk away and I think, Father, what happened here? I didn't write that.
But that's exciting.
It is most exciting, but yet it puts you in awe. Mm. You know that while you do something like this, it's you do it in obedience. Mm. And that is the most amazing thing, to know that you obey God and that you're doing what he asked you to do. And sometimes it really takes guts to be obedient.
Yeah.
But in the end... looking back on the whole journey, I can just tell you God was in it from beginning to end.
The name of the book is God Knows You. God wants a personal relationship with you. You wouldn't have written this book, besides the fact that God leads you to write about this, if you didn't feel... do you feel that the church doesn't feel seen, doesn't feel a connection with this God, or what?
I don't think about church. I think about individuals.
Okay.
And you know, when Paul wrote his letter to the congregation in Ephesians, he wrote down something in that letter that since the time you know how many times you read things and you don't click with what is written there?
Yeah.
But when I really understood what was written there, I couldn't stop going back to it. And this is the verse that made me write this book in English. It is Ephesians 1 verse 4. Paul wrote here, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. He chose us in him before the foundation of the world. You know, Janine, that means that even before our Lord God started creation.
Mm. Before Satan fell.
Now, exactly. Mm. Now, there's a line. What was her name? Annelies Wiet. You know, remember Annelies Wiet?
Yes.
She once gave me this line, and I wrote it down in my Bible. Oh, there it is. You can see I wrote it here in Afrikaans, in my Afrikaans Ephesians. The line is, Yahweh found us in Yeshua before he lost us in Adam.
Definitely. I mean, the lamb was also slain before the foundation of the earth.
That's right.
We were chosen before the foundation of the earth. All of that happened. Everything was started because the decision had already been made.
And God's plan was complete before he started with creation.
Okay, but that's mind-boggling right there.
It really is mind-boggling. But I think we all should consider this on our own before the Lord, to think that he knew me. What did he know about me before the foundation? He knew in what year I would be born. 48, very important year. In history, 48 was an important year, okay? Let's not go into that because it's taking us off the track. But he knew I would be born in that year. He knew I would be born in the Free State in South Africa, from an Afrikaans-speaking family.
Mm.
But he also knew what he was going to implant in me.
Strengths and weaknesses, no?
Yes, but the strengths. He knew what he would empower me to want to do and to get done.
Yes.
Therefore, he gave all the small little detail that was necessary for me to be able to get to the mark the Lord had planted for me before the foundation of the, of everything, of earth, the whole skipping.
Hmm.
He truly knew all people. And then you would say, but what about those babies born from rape? I think God, I believe, God is not surprised by that even.
Mm-mm.
Nothing can surprise him. There's nothing that can hinder him from what he planned to do from the beginning. And the beginning was, as Ephesians reads, before the foundation of the world.
But that brings peace, doesn't it? I
mean,
if you're not talking about like babies born from rape, this is not Satan winning around.
No.
If God is sovereign and all-knowing and almighty.
Absolutely.
Because that's what you tell yourself. Now I'm suddenly an accident. And that leaves you stranded and adrift if God wasn't sovereign even in that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. No, no. This I believe, is absolutely the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what we all should know. And how many people that were not born from wedlock do find themselves in their 50s and 40s that they're a failure.
Mm.
You don't have to have that background to feel a failure.
Yeah.
But God didn't make failures.
It's a lie, by the way, that's risen up against the knowledge of Jesus. Is
absolutely
that lie, which is now being refuted right here on Radio Pulpit.
Absolutely. And you know, and this is also when I wrote this God Knows You book. It starts off with several main, call it beacons,
mm-hmm,
to work towards, and certain things that we need to understand from the scriptures, and that will help us to put our feet both flat on earth and stretch up and say, Lord, here I am.
Beacons like what?
Willing to bring peace.
Big one.
Willing to spread the gospel without preaching.
Yeah.
You know, when I always, not always, but I mostly fill my car in with petrol at the same station.
Uh-huh.
And when I drive in there, the yochis, they run to be the first to serve me. Because I always talk to them about God. And I bless them in the name of Jesus. And they come for the blessing.
Sure.
I find even at the grocery store where I often go, the guards who guard the car, they run to help me. And I'm sure it's for the same reason. And they would look me in the eye as if I didn't say it yet.
Expectation, yeah.
Yeah.
And it costs you nothing.
Absolutely
it's
nothing.
Just caring. Yeah.
You know, there's one guy, I can't remember where he comes from, but he's not from South Africa, a black guy. And he's at another center that I often go to. And when he sees my car come in from a distance, he would wave.
Yeah, come park here.
That's right. That's right.
Sure.
And he loves the Lord. When I started talking to him about God, he speaks back. And he quotes scripture for me.
It's stunning.
It is absolutely amazing. And on the days that I could still go to Israel, then I would tell him I'm going to Israel again. Then he said, "Man, what are you going to bring me this time?"
Oh, wow.
I always brought him something. And it would even be a little bottle of sand from the Negev. I always brought him something.
And to him, it's not Esty.
No.
It's Jesus caring right. And Jesus seeing him.
That's right.
You are his representative.
That's right.
Mm.
So that was the drive. All of the bits we're talking about now was in my heart the drive for writing this book. That everyone should know God knows you. He truly knows you.
You know what I've found? That people don't think God likes them. They feel like God's got to love them. It's like a TV license. It's the right thing to do. He makes you and I has got to put up with you.
Oh, my.
Seriously, yeah. That's the experience yeah. Because you're disappointed
you,
in yourself.
But it's terrible.
And you feel that God is as disappointed in you as you are in yourself. And and if you say things like this and you tell them about who God is, it does change that perspective because he is so different from the little box we put him in.
Absolutely, absolutely. And, you know, just before we started, I mentioned that when I received the book back, I read something that I really knew I didn't write this.
Mm.
I really cannot. Okay. I'm almost 4 years from 80, but and my mind is sometimes leaving me. But I truly know that what the sentence that I want to, the idea that I want to quote to you now from the book, it came from God. It was not my thinking. I was arguing about the difference between or the relation between holiness and righteousness. Okay? And I thought to myself, which comes first? And then I was making a few thoughts. I put a few thoughts together. And in the end, what I wrote, what stunned me was that holiness is the destination. Righteousness, the only way to get there.
The journey.
Mm. That's the journey. So if we could put our heads to a decision, God, I want to live in righteousness, it will take us to holiness. And you know, God is holy.
Mm.
The more we can grow in holiness, the closer we can get to him. And let me tell you, Jenny, I'm sure, if we can grow on this path and we sit down to have a quiet time with the Lord, words are not needed. Because his presence will feed us, protect us, teach us. His presence is what we should yearn for.
Because then we can know him as he knows us. That's what the Bible says. That's because I always feel those living creatures around the throne. If after an eternity, the only words they have is holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. He who was, he who is and is to come. How can I become blasé? Or used to God, like we sometimes feel we do, like we don't expect more when we read the Bible. If we expected more and yearn for more, like a deer pants for the water, he promises that Jeremiah 29:13, that if you look for me with everything in you, you will be found by me. If a book like yours can at least stir the hunger, is that your plan? What is it that you want
people? This is my biggest prayer. Father, that people who pick up this book and really read it will get this yearning to be with you. Because you knows us. And let's please respond to that. I mean, I think all of us have family that we hardly ever talk to.
Uh-huh. Look at Vena's face.
Who, me?
He always says family's like fish after 3 days. Yeah, okay, go on.
Yeah, you know, we know what it is to be, you know, it's not that family don't like you or whatever. They may be very busy. Mm-hmm. And you try to reach and they don't come back to you and blah. And then you start thinking, did I do something wrong?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You see? So we know that feeling. Mm-hmm. And how can we do that to the Lord? That we get so busy with our stuff that we don't wait on Him. So if we can really get to the point of waiting on God, allowing Him to really speak into our hearts, but also our minds and our decisions, the choices we make, that's where we should be. And then go out that door and live the love of Jesus, who is the Christ.
You know, that's your next book now. How to Wait on the Lord. Our church doesn't know. Our church doesn't know. I'm just saying. Anyways, if people want to get hold of this book, God Knows You. God Wants a Personal Relationship with You. Do they just go to the stores, internet, what world?
Yes. Stores carries the book. You can also go to Take a Lot.
Ah.
It's also on Take a Lot.
Right. And if people want to follow you, because you've got WhatsApp groups that you send our devotions. And no, I receive those devotions. You want to receive those devotions. If you want meat in your life, steak stuff from the Bible. How do people connect with you? Is it possible?
Is it dangerous to give your cell phone number?
Or we can give Radio Pulpit's reception if that'll help you. What do you want?
Yes, give reception and I will respond.
Okay. Oh, you know what? Here's the phone if you want to call reception, 012-334-1200. And then also if you use our normal WhatsApp number, 0826572729, just send the word SD. And then Esty will get back to you. That if you send the word Esty, you mean for Esty to get back to you, to add you to all of her contact lists. Thank you for your time. I truly appreciate it.
It was wonderful to be here.
Oh, now you can drink you can finish your coffee.
I can finish my coffee. But Janine, thank you, thank you. Benon, thank you. It was great to be with you this morning. And I love you lots.